Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday. You know what that means. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. I hope everyone has had a fantastic day, a fantastic week. Friday is almost here, and I cannot wait. One, there's a lot of great competitions going on this weekend. There's a lot of athletes I want to just wish well, good luck. I hope your peak week has been awesome and that you're just spending the next couple days getting rested, relaxed, filling out those muscle bellies and getting ready to shine on that stage. And two, I am just so ready for the weekend. I can't even tell you. So I want to go ahead and get this show rolling, though, because it is going to be a lot of fun tonight. First off, want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you out there who faithfully tune in to P4P Real Talk. Got some awesome news this week that we have hit the 10,000 listener mark, which totally blows me away. I just don't even have words for how exciting that is. So we're so glad that you guys call in, that you participate. Well, not so many call in. Listen in, I should say. We don't have very good luck with some folks who call in. We're hoping to change that because we really think that would enhance the until we find a better way to screen through the crackpots. And that's what I said, crackpots. We're not taking as many calls as we would like. But thank you for listening in, for contributing, for asking questions, and giving suggestions for shows. We love that. And today, we are kicking off a new segment for P4P Real Talk. It is called Roll Call. And Kayla and I are on a quest. We want to interview every athlete that is on the P4P roster. And let me tell you, there are quite a few. Last I heard, there were over 400. So a lot of great talent out there representing a great product, and we are kicking that all off tonight. We have two great guests. One of them, who's going to be our first guest, his name is Torrance Cooper. And then after Torrance, we are going to be following up with a bikini competitor. Her name is Nikki Ross. But before we get ahead of ourselves, Torrance, who is joining us from Portland, Oregon. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I am doing good. Thank you guys for having me on the show. I'm very excited, blessed. And, this is definitely a blessing having on the show. Thank you so much.
Hey, well, we are excited to have you. And, your name has been floating around the P4P circle for a while, so I'm glad we were able to get you on the show. Why don't you take a minute and introduce yourselves to our listeners?
All right, yeah. Well, for all the P4P fam, all my fam and friends and fans out there, you guys know me as Coop, Torrance Cooper. And I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm 38 years old. I am a natural professional bodybuilder. And I also have my own company. I'm self-employed at Coops Pro Extreme Fitness. Come and check me out if you want extreme hardcore workouts. And and basically, I do it all. So, I'm prepping for a show right now. So I'm pretty much almost brain dead, but I'm very excited, I'm just very excited to be on the show, and a lot of support out there from family and friends, and just want to say thank you, and I love all you guys, and P4P family, you guys have been the best, so thank you so much, thank you so much.
P4P, so you are prepping for a show this weekend. If I am reading my notes right, it's the NAMBF Washington State.
Yes, it is. It's the Washington State Natural. It's this Saturday, and like I said, I'm looking forward to it. My last show was in June of this year, and it was June 4th. It was the Zeus Classic, so I brought a pretty good package to the stage. But I think this show, and then the Natural Olympia 2 weeks after that, I think I'll be bringing the best package on the stage for the P4P family. I will rep hardcore for you guys. And if you guys ever seen me on stage in my routine, I am a crazy, crazy, crazy person when I'm on stage. So I'm a man with different, many personalities, and I'm so excited. I mean, you can just tell in my voice right now, I just can't stop.
You are. So you are getting revved up. So I have not had the opportunity to see any of your routines yet. So tell us a little bit about these different personalities, or what is it that you're bringing to the stage?
Well, usually on my routines, I don't like to really tell what I like to do. So
okay.
I like to bring different, so different characters, you know. So if anybody went on Facebook or seen anything on my routines on my website, CooperStream.com, you can find a few videos on there. But to kind of give you a rundown, I did a Michael Jackson routine. I did a Jabberwocky routine. And I did a Sparta routine. And this time, I'm definitely going to bring a lot of comedy to the stage. And I'm going to have fun with it. I'm bringing the old school dancers into it. So if anybody out there in the P4P family, you got to tune in. And I promise you, I will post this show. And you'll definitely be able to see what I will bring them to the stage. So I'm super excited, and I'm the clown box.
Wait, did you say you're bringing dancers into it?
Oh,
is that a thing? Are you allowed to bring backup dancers? Are you allowed to bring backup dancers? I wasn't quite sure on that one.
If they want to go on stage to be backup dancers, I mean, that's fine with me. And everything, but this is going to be basically a one man show. Who knows? I might even river dance. You know, I'm a self taught river dancer, so I might have to show y'all some of that in my next video. I do it all. You know, like I said, when it comes to P4P, you know, they got the best products on the planet. My girlfriend, my queen, she takes it. We take her faithfully. So, like I said, you know, it definitely works. My training is more hardcore. I'm more focused, energy support. I mean, I just feel like a new beast this upcoming shows and whatnot. So, and I will show that on stage these next two shows that I'll be doing. So, and I don't want y'all to laugh at me because of the dances I'm doing, because I'm taking y'all back to the 70s and maybe 80s. So I got something for all y'all. But, you know, like I said, I'm excited. Like I said, this year, as far as with prep, I've been prepping actually since January, because the last show, I feel that I could have brought a better package on stage as far as being a little leaner. And I brought some size. The conditioning was pretty much there, but I should have came in a little tighter. But I think this show in the Destined to Natural Olympia in November 12th, I think I'll be the best shape ever, so I'll be definitely bringing the best physique I ever brought on stage, period.
Sound like you got it set up. Now, you say that you like to get the night routine. You know, how much do you put into it, and how much do you ask for input to see, you know, try to get a good mesh and mix? Because, you know, being a pro, it really takes a lot. You know, and a lot of people don't understand all that it takes and entails. But it sounds like you've really put this stuff to heart, and you really, you know, got something in mind.
Yes, it's, you know, as far as prepping for a show, I mean, I'm in the gym, I mean, honestly, from 2.5 to 3 hours, maybe 3.5. So I'm bringing meals with me. And the reason why I'm in the gym that long, because I don't have to go back later. And plus, I have clients throughout the day. And, and of course, a part-time job, but I'm training for at least, like I said, 3.5 hours tops. So I'm doing my regular workout, which is pretty much high intense workout between an hour and half, I'll say, half hour of cardio, and then maybe like 25 minutes of abs, just depending, maybe just a little longer. And of course, I'm posing in between that too. So, but as far as, like, you know, being in the gym, it's, I'm in there like at least 6 days out of the week, no matter what. And then when I'm getting ready for a show, I'll say maybe 8 to 12 weeks out. I'm in there, like I said, 7 days a week, 6 days of training, 7 days a week of cardio. And I'm just grinding, you know, the whole time. So, And I'm just one of those guys that, you know, that I just can't go back later in the day to do cardio. And luckily now, we've been living in my new home here in Portland, Oregon. I actually got a little mini gym, home gym, so I can actually do a little few things here or whatnot. And but far as also with that, and that said, meal prepping also is that's a lot of work itself too. You know, prepping, you know, for your meals. And luckily, I got a queen, my girlfriend. She's a chef, so she actually does my meals for me, so I can focus on my business and my training. So it's definitely blessful to have her, and it helps me out a lot. But the gym is definitely pretty brutal. Like I said, just the time consuming that I'm in there, so it's definitely tough. It's a long haul, but I love being in there. I'm addicted, so definitely addicted to it, and don't mind doing it.
Well, I was going to say, you probably find that most athletes, by the time they hit the pro level, if they're not addicted by then, they will be soon thereafter. It's just one of those sports. But I also understand that you've had some injuries that you've been having to work through. What were some of those, I guess, and how have you had to adjust the way you train in order to accommodate for those?
Okay, so a lot of people, my friends and family, you know, I also work as I work part-time at FedEx. So basically I do a lot of heavy lifting in there and I drive around the industrial tugger. So a lot of overhead lifting. And 2015 is when I got the injury, and I just knew something wasn't right as far as my left shoulder was really sore. I just couldn't, you know, I wasn't as mobile. I couldn't press anything or couldn't lift anything as heavy. And I kind of just waited out a little bit. And then finally, I'll say earlier this year, I was like, you know, I got to get it checked out. I got to see what's going on. So I got it checked out, got an MRI. They basically said it's rotator cuff tendonitis and impingement. And then also a slight tear in the labrum. So basically my labrum, he said, is definitely worn out. And it's been tough. So when I found that out that my strength wasn't going to be the more I couldn't press as heavy as I wanted, I ain't going to lie to you guys. It took a toll on me. I mean, I was stressed out. I was just like, you know, I'm not Superman no more. And it was definitely, like I said, a long haul. And the adjustments that I had to make was I had to accept it. I was like, okay, look, go through physical therapy. I know my shoulder's not going to be the same. And I was like, you know, if I can avoid the surgery, then I can try to do that. And then, but I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to try to just accept it and then just, you know, find different movements that I can still, you know, be able to stabilize that muscle or actually work that muscle and without re-injuring it or getting it worse. And I think that's pretty much like what I learned and had to deal with, because, like I said, it's tough for any athlete to go through some type of injury that either can set them back or maybe not even to compete. So that was the show that that I basically had to be like, you know what, can I be able to do it? I just wasn't ready. You know, I was going to prep for a show in May of this year. I just wasn't ready. My mind was off, and the whole mindset was totally off. So I had to refocus, kind of just regroup and just be like, you know what, I can work around this. I do it. I got it. So, and that's basically how I overcame it. And it's getting better, but it's not 100% yet. So, but it's definitely a lot better going through physical therapy.
Yeah. Now you had a lot of physical therapy, but I'm sure your focus improved well to where you really had to key in on the why it was injured and how it was injured, but you also had to make sure that it's not going to happen again.
Right. And that's the whole thing, too. Like, far as, you know, the physical therapy that I got, you know, going through the ultrasound, the electric, and pretty much they left the workouts alone. It's like, well, okay, you already know what to do. You know, like I said, I mean, all that, it definitely helped. And I just had to make some adjustments and then accept it, you know, so to where, like, okay, look, I have to make sure this won't happen again. I have to train more safer. I have to, you know, bring my elbows in, you know, a lot closer or whatnot, maybe not get the full range of motion. So it was like, you know, it was a lot of things that I actually had to kind of, like, reset my mind to be like, okay, look, only way for me to not re-injure myself, I have to lift it like this. I have to do things a different way in a certain way. So, and I, like I said, I think I found it, and it's not affecting as far as my physique, which I thought it would be, but which I'm definitely grateful, you know. So, but like I said, it's definitely been a turnaround, I would say. It's definitely a turnaround, but like I said, it still won't be 100%, and I just don't want to go under the knife just yet.
Now, there's also one more part to that, and that's the down days and the dark days of an injury. You know, basically the waiting game, and then basically going into it with the new mindset of still being you. Because like you said, it does take a very positive mind to even want to start again, but starting over is hard. And just let the people know how you made it through that part.
Yeah, like I said, once I found out that my shoulder wasn't going to be the same, like I said, all my lifts, pressing chest, I mean shoulder press, overhead, I mean, all that went down. And like I said before, you know, it took its toll on me. And so you will go through that stress process because, you know, you're not as strong as you used to be or whatnot. And so you just kind of have to really, for me, what I had to do, I had to really dig deep as far as meaning, like, you know, like I had to literally pray and just, you know, just pretty much just have that mind to where, you know, meditation or whatnot. You know, I do a lot of meditation at least once or twice a day before I go to work or with clients, basically before I even work out. So it helps me actually ease my mind or whatnot. But, you like I said, as far as to get through it and to actually conquer it, like I said, the main thing you just kind of have to, not necessarily like say you really have to accept it, but I had to, you know. So if you can do that and, you know, not worry about lifting up a building all the time and looking at the guy or girl next to you like, oh, you know, they're lifting, you know, 300, 400 pounds. You know, this is not, you know, it's all about you. You know, you're not, the only thing you need, you need to impress yourself, you know. So don't worry about others. You know, worry about yourself. Worry about you, how you can get better. Worry about you, how you can be, you know, just to be injury-free or, like I said, just get a lot more better. So for me, like I said, I had to do all that. It was just a change of mind, and you know, just to be like, you know, hey, this is what I have to do. I have to lift this certain way for order me to even step on stage or even just compete. So, I mean, far as like that, it's pretty much, you know, just plain and simple. You really have to just accept it and be like, you know what, I can get through this. I can definitely get through this. And I had a lot of support too from friends and family too. So. That was like, you know, hey, you know, Coop, man, you know, take it easy and, you know, we got you and do it all you got to do and we're here for you, we're praying for you and, you know, all that stuff helps. So a good positive support system is always, always, always helpful, always helpful.
Well said.
Yeah, very much so, very much. I mean, and that's good to hear because, you know, bodybuilding, it is – well, with any sport, you know, there's always the possibility of injury. But, you know, when you have to take time off and it feels like every day that you take off that your muscles are getting smaller and smaller, there really is a psychological aspect to that it is difficult, like you were saying, not to compare yourself to the person lifting next to you of, oh, man, he's lifting more, or he's, you know, lifting more reps, or and I can only do this, or, you know. So I'm, you know, just very glad that you've been able to overcome that. You've had one successful show already this year. You got second place at the Zeus Classic. You're gearing up for two more. What is it about your package, and I'm pretty sure, like most athletes, you feel like this is the best package you're bringing to stage today. What is it about it that you think has been the best improvements that you've been able to make since January of this year?
I would say the reason why I bring the best package in far as, you know, most definitely, I diet longer. I used to diet anywhere from 12 to 15 weeks, you know, my first 4 years. This would be, November would be 8 years since I've been competing. I've been a pro for going on 4 years. And I would say diet a lot longer because, you know, I was, like I said, some of us, you diet for like 8 to 10 weeks and, you know, and a lot of that stuff can get stale. So, and then, but if you really want to bring the best package, you know, you to the stage, you have to me, you have to diet a lot longer. For me, it takes anywhere from what I noticed since I'm getting older now, it takes me anywhere from about, I would say 16 to, no, I take the back, I'm lying to y'all already. It takes 20 to 25 weeks automatic for me to actually get dialed in. And that's, and so this year I've dieted since January. And, so my first show, like I said, was Zeus Classic in June. And, so from last year, I was already tighter. So I brought a better package this year than last year. And right now, I mean, I'm pretty much almost dialed in to where, I mean, this is pretty much the best I look so far, I think, ever since I competed. But dieting, like I said, for me, a lot longer, taking the time for the weight to come off and just, you know, just really not worry about, you know, making changes. Because one thing I used to do as a beginner, you know, I didn't know pretty much too much about, you know, the bodybuilding diet and, you know, what should I do, what should I eat. And I remember my first show, to make a long story short, I was 230-something pounds, and then I got down to 100 and I want to say 72 pounds within like, let me say about maybe 4 months or something like that. And so I lost a lot of muscle, and I'm a little flabby on stage, but, you know, definitely had some fun with it. But like I said, for me, it's definitely just taking my time to diet, trying not to make dramatic changes in the far as this, towards the end, too. A lot of people make a mistake making dramatic changes as far as water or, you know, taking in fewer calories. But everybody is different. So for me, it basically diet a little longer, stick with the same regimen that's been working, try not to change anything, and just pretty much just keep plugging away. Just try to improve my physique every single time. Just try to be a better me no matter what. No matter what.
Wow. And it sounds like you've had it, a lot of good support. But also, you know, one of the things, especially with the amount of time you've had to compete, you've had a lot of people that had input that's really not input that's beneficial. How do you go about dealing with them and still letting them know, you know, hey, I appreciate it, but no thank you?
Oh, you mean as far as giving me like some type of like input of what I need to do?
Yes.
Oh, well, hopefully this answered the question. I get a lot of, I still got a lot of friends that either used to compete or say they did compete, and, you know, they like the
that's
old
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so they're the guys in the gym that, you know, they were on YouTube running a few couple poses or whatnot. Hey, Coop, man, this is what you should be doing, or, you know, or you need to be following this. You know, it's just like, hey, you know, like, who you think you're talking to? I'm actually the one that step on stage or whatnot. And but you know, it's just, those you know, those type of guys that say no disrespect or whatnot, it's just like, a lot of times, like, look, I got this, you know, so I know what I'm doing. If I need to learn a little bit more, you know, I got a mentor or whatnot, I can always go to him. And so, you know what, like, this is my time, you know, so give me my time, give me my space. And once I'm getting ready for a show, when I'm really, like, I'll say at least 4 weeks out, I'm really so focused, like, I don't even want to be messed with. You know, so this is like, but I'm still cool with it. I'm still that nice guy. Some people have a little tempers and tantrums and all that. No, not me. I'm just like, hey, look, I'd rather be quiet, wear the hoodie or whatnot. But, you know, just be like, hey, look, you know, I'm doing my thing right now. So, you know, if you can, not try to step in my way, but you shouldn't be talking. You definitely shouldn't be talking at all. But like I said, I do have some friends that, that still compete in there. You know, they're like their 50s and 60s or whatnot. And, you know, they still try to, you know, try to give you little tips. And the tips be totally off.
Yeah.
So, y'all know what I mean by that. So they'll tell you, like, oh, you know, you should you should cut your water in like 4 days. I'm like, 4 days, I'll die. You know what you guys talking about? You know, you should drink no water. You should drink no water. You know, that's what you should do. You know, or you know, yeah, poopy,
yeah,
you should do.
Like,
hey, oh, yeah, this is one of the funniest ones. It was like, yeah, you know, I used to do poop. We used to eat a half a chicken breast, a big bowl of brown rice, and some tuna. And that's what you should do, poop, right there, man. That'll get you down there, brother. I'm like, I'm okay. You know, but the ones that have competed before, and, you know, it's good to get input because, like, I tell people, hey, look, even though as a professional athlete, I'm still learning, you know. I still don't, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, that knows more, but the whole thing is, hey, I'm still learning, I'm still willing to learn, and, you know, and that's what I think, you know, that keeps me going right there. It's like, hey, you know, I'm still learning, and I'm willing to learn, so, and what I learned so far between these 8 years is a lot, but guess what, it's not enough. It's still not enough. So, like I said, I'm going to continue to learn, I'm going to continue to get better, and you know, do what I have to do to, when it comes to showtime, I'm going to have to bring it. Like I said, I'm going to have to bring it. And they will know when I'm on stage. Like I said, when I'm on stage, I have to say this. I'm sorry. When I'm on stage, if you come out and see me, you're going to have a good time. I'm sorry. I have to bring a show. I have to bring a show on stage, you know. So from the costumes to the whatever, the dancing, I don't care, you know. I'm going to bring the show to you.
There you go.
Well, we will definitely be watching, and that's an awesome attitude to have. So, Torrent, we just want to say thank you for joining us on our first roll call here. It's been a pleasure having you, and we wish you the best of luck coming up this weekend, and then also at the Natural Expo coming up in 2 weeks. I think November 13th and 14th.
I appreciate it so much. I just want to say I thank you guys for giving me this opportunity. I just want to thank the whole P4P fam, Joe Manning, Bolton, I mean, the list goes on, the whole P4P fam, you know, my main supporters, my mom, you know, my team that makes it out to the show, everybody that's supporting me on this journey. I mean, the list goes on. I just want to say thank you guys. I appreciate it so much. God bless, and, you know, I will definitely return the favor, and like I said, I thank you guys so much for the bottom of my heart. This has just been a truly blessing this year so far.
Hey, thank you. Have a good one.
Okay, you guys take.
Wow, that is exciting. Now I'm going to have to go back and check out his website and watch his videos on his stage performances. I'm intrigued now.
I am as well, and I'm still laughing off of somebody telling them to cut water for 4 days.
I love that. I love that. He said, I will die. Oh, shoot. All right, so I have to make a quick correction here because I was having a brain fade, but it's the, I don't know what else, Trill Olympia coming up November 13th to 14th. So I know we're going to be looking for Torrance, and there's some other P4P athletes that are going to be gracing that stage. So definitely want to keep our eye out on that. And now we are rolling into our second roll call this evening, and we have Miss Nikki Ross with us from Mahwah, New Jersey. Hold on, let me bring her on here. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. Nikki, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. Great. Glad to have you. So I think I just murdered the name of your city. Is it Mahwah,
no,
New Jersey?
No, you actually,
how am I pronouncing
yeah,
it?
You said it completely perfect. It's Mahwah,
woo-hoo!
New Jersey. Everyone always
awesome.
Says, like, Mayway and Mahwah or something, but you got it.
Awesome. Awesome. So as I said, we have Nikki Ross. She's a bikini competitor from Mahwah, New Jersey. She's on roll
yes.
call tonight. Nikki, why don't you say hi to our listeners and tell them a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everyone. Well, I am a last-year dietetic student at Montclair State University right now, and I have somehow managed to balance that bikini competitions, and also working as a martial arts instructor. over the past few years. So that's what I do right now. I'm actually graduating in a month and a half with my degree
wow.
in nutrition, which I think has really helped me with my competitions because I haven't had to rely on anyone. I've learned a lot in terms of doing my own nutrition.
Now, the martial arts has always been pretty intrigued me. That's one thing that my background basically started. Everybody else seemed like it had a bodybuilding background or had a passion, but my discipline came from the martial arts, and I basically brought that into bodybuilding. So, could you explain just a little bit how that discipline actually helps with the lifting and everything else, and actually it sometimes puts you ahead of the game?
Oh, of course. I actually started really young with my martial arts. My dad has been training me since I was 2.5. So I've been doing mixed martial arts, taekwondo, karate, jiu-jitsu, bondo, muay thai, boxing, everything for about 20 years now. And just the discipline, just the nature of the discipline has helped me to stay disciplined in prepping for shows. I mean, I didn't get into bodybuilding until a little over a year ago, but the martial arts has been something that's driven my passion for fitness my entire life. And through the martial arts, I actually competed a lot with karate and taekwondo before I even decided to start lifting weights. And it's definitely made a difference in terms of my conditioning. My conditioning is a lot better than it would have been had I just started with regular lifting and cardio. I also have a background in kettlebell training. When I was 17, I started training with kettlebells. And then when I was 19, I became level 1 RKC certified. And then the following year, I became level 2 RKC certified. So that has definitely helped as well.
Well, now, that brings about something that I'd like to bring up. And it's something, because I've been familiar with kettlebells as well, but the one thing I couldn't understand is how that got put into CrossFit and training. Do you know that connection? Because I've always wondered that, and I've always been kind of afraid to ask because it seems like everybody understood it but me.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. The thing I think with CrossFit is I don't personally do it. I don't really know a lot of people who do it. But it seems like it's kind of
kettlebell.
Yeah. What it seems like is they've kind of taken bits and pieces of different training styles and combined it into one kind of circuit workout. So they have elements of Olympic lifting, they have elements of powerlifting, they have elements of like plyometric and calisthenic training. They also have incorporated the kettlebells, and which is not, I don't think it's something that they do in the competitions, as far as I know, but it makes sense that they would include it in the workouts because kettlebells are probably one of the best tools for building explosive power. And when you're trying to snatch like a 200 something pound barbell over your head, you need a lot of explosive power.
For sure.
And that, I mean, and kettlebells are, not to get off on a kettlebell tangent, but they are really good for a lot of varying aspects of just strength training in general. I mean, good overall, you know, body workout, you're bringing in your core. You will get your upper body into it as well. It's good cardiovascular. You're going to work your hams, your glutes, all of that in there. So, I mean, I'm a fan of kettlebells for sure.
It's really funny. I did kettlebells for about 3 or 4 years before I even touched a barbell. And for the first few years of lifting, I never did bench press. The only presses I did were overhead with the kettlebells. And so, like, whenever I'm at shows or even just training in the gym, I'll get comments on my shoulders and my delt development, and everyone will ask what I do. And I tell them, you know, I did kettlebells for about 4 years straight before I even touched a barbell. So I don't even directly, I've never directly trained my shoulders. It's just always been a part, it's always just been included in the kettlebell training that I've done.
Well, now that is pretty awesome, because I tell you what, I am not a fan of the chest press.
I'm not a fan of that.
I've gotta find some more love for that for sure. I do it, but
yeah.
It's not one of my favorites. I would far rather do kettlebell than to do one of those. But anyway, switching gears. You're an amateur bikini competitor. You've been competing for a little over a year now. You've also jumped into the figure arena as well. But in some of the background that you shared with us, you said that you used to struggle a little bit or a lot of bit with body image. And even though now you are shifting into a career that's dealing with food, you used to have a poor relationship with food. And I know that this is something that we have several listeners that I know are like, oh, my gosh, that sounds like me. Can you share with us a little bit about your background in those areas and what it took for you to actually decide to?
Yeah, actually, it started when I was really little. I never really had a great relationship with food or with my body. I had a lot of self-esteem issues growing up, and it took for me to actually, I ended up getting really, really sick mentally and physically when I was in my first year of college, and I had to get treatment. After that, that was when I actually started lifting heavy for the first time. So I had been doing kettlebells as a conditioning and strength building exercise, but I had never really touched a barbell. When I started gaining weight and was kind of hesitant about how it looked on me, I had to find something else to kind of focus on. So I put the extra weight to good use, and I started doing some powerlifting. I never competed, but just doing the lifts, it triggered something in me, and I'm like, wow, I really like being strong, and I really like being fit, and I like building muscle. And it turned from me wanting to shrink myself to me wanting to grow and expand my presence. And there was definitely a lot of soul searching in there and a lot of work that I did on myself to get to the point where I had a lot of self-confidence and where I was comfortable in myself and with myself and loving myself every step of the way. But over time, it took about a year from the first time I started lifting heavy until I decided that I was ready to start training for a competition. I had had friends and family members tell me, you know, oh, you should try this, you would be so good at it, but I didn't want to get into it until I knew that mentally I could handle being looked at and judged on my body, because that was always something that I was nervous about. And I also know a lot of competitors who will diet down for a show and then completely lose it after the show and binge and gain back like 30, 40 plus pounds. I think the fact that I kept a healthy relationship with food throughout my prep helped me to avoid that bounce back. After each show that I did, I didn't have those like crazy, I mean, obviously everyone does like one of those post-show epic cheat meals, but after a week or so, I was able to get myself back on track, and it wasn't because I didn't deprive myself, because I had fixed that relationship that I used to have, and I stopped treating food as a reward or punishment system. And I treated it as what it was fuel for my body. So if I felt that during prep, even if it didn't fit the meal plan that I was on, if I felt like my body needed something a little bit more, I had an extra meal or I had a little bit extra, like, carbs or fats or protein or something. It's about listening to your body and giving it what it's telling you that it needs. And I think that has been the biggest thing for me, is just kind of being in tune to what my body is telling me as opposed to what I'm seeing reflected back in the mirror. Because I know that what I see in the mirror isn't always accurate. So I hope that was helpful.
No, that was awesome. Yeah, that's, and very well said. I mean, you got a lot of good points in there. And that's all to that. I mean, that's wow. I really appreciate that. And you could hear the discipline coming out and basically finding yourself again. Well, you know, that's something you draw onto a lot in there. And it's basically covering every avenue that you've been doing.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of girls that I'm friends with who have competed before, and they competed once and then, you know, just kind of gave up on it because they gained all that weight post-show. And I went into the first show I ever did aware of that. And so I was very cautious after the show too. And it's really just about being in tune with yourself, because you can not be in tune with yourself and eat everything, but you could also not be in tune with yourself and deprive yourself of everything. And I feel really bad for some of the competitors who have been put on really, really low calorie, low carb, low fat diets because they're so deprived for such an extended period of time, and it's not worth it because you're just going to damage your metabolism.
But yeah, that a lot of that information, you know, we get to talk about it a lot. So, you know, it's basically part of our daily regimen. But there's so many that just really are trusting blind trust and blind faith, and their lives are being ruined. And it really hurts when you hear it, like you said, because you know there's such a better way, and to watch their lives. Their competition, because I've seen, like you said, where they hate, it's not a dislike, it's a hate for bodybuilding because so much damage was done to their body and mind.
Yep. That's why I'm really glad that I have the background educationally that I do. I've been taking classes, learning about the basics of nutrition for the past 4 years. Well, the basics and the details, but so I know what nutrients do what, and I know what my body needs to function. Like, the people who are on zero-carb diets but still lifting heavy weights and trying to put on muscle, it's never going to work because your muscles need carbohydrates. They need glycogen to grow. And likewise, the people who are on really low-fat diets and expecting their heart to keep working after an extended period of time. A lot of people actually don't know this, but the heart is the only muscle in the body that runs on fat as opposed to carbohydrates. So if you're not eating any fat, then your heart's going to stop.
Well, and that's good to know. I don't know that I had heard that fact before. So awesome.
Yeah, that's why
I'm ready to have another
omega-3s. Yeah, omega-3s are the most important thing because they're anti-inflammatory.
You are so true. You're so true. I've had to hide the peanut butter a little bit over the past couple of weeks, so now I'm feeling like I need to go find out where my kids hid it.
I think I probably go through like 3 jars a week, maybe.
Oh my gosh. I love
it.
And I love it the most when I'm not supposed to have very much of it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Shoot.
Everything in moderation.
Oh, it
though.
Is. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is true. And I love the points that you're bringing up about food. And we had an interview about a week or so ago with another female phenom, Misty Sowell, and she was talking about how one of her main challenges and goals was to overcome, she called it overcoming food and not letting it control her, especially post-show, which is a lot of
right.
what you've been
it's
talking
very
about
difficult.
Also.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because it is kind of a mindset because you do feel deprived, and it's not so much, and I guess it depends on how you're handling your nutrition and what your coach has you doing, because we all choose to compete. We all choose this lifestyle that we're living, so it's not so much that I look at it that I'm being deprived of something. I just can't have as much as maybe I once did or could have, but, you know, that opportunity is there. But like you said, it's all in
right.
moderation, and it's more of a mental and emotional thing sometimes more than it is anything physical that's driving
mm-hmm.
you when it comes to food. So I like all of the positive
right.
messages that I'm hearing from you about that, because it is so very important, especially if you want to have a longer career in the sport. You have to be able
exactly.
to manage your food in a healthy way, not just physically, but, you know, mentally and emotionally as well.
The best advice that I've had, or I don't remember if I heard it somewhere or if I've just been saying it to myself, but if I feel like I'm going to go overboard and it is getting out of control, I just kind of stop myself and I look at it and I say to myself, it's going to be there tomorrow. No one's taking
mm-hmm.
it away from me. I
yeah.
can still have it. Or even it'll be there next week. Or, you know, if it's cookies, I mean, those things last for, like, years. So it's always going to be there. No one's taking it away. It's true. No one's taking it away from you. So you don't need to eat it right now. You can save it for later and savor it and then actually enjoy it.
Great advice. Great advice. So
yeah.
I've got one more, and then I'll stop hogging all of your attention from Kaylin. But I'm a bikini girl. You're a bikini girl, but you
yeah.
also are expanding into figure. Which category are you finding that you're liking better, and why?
I definitely like bikini better. It's more my
Yay!
Personality. I'm definitely like that fun, sassy. I get to really express myself with bikini, I feel. Whereas figure, it's more kind of strict and regimented, at least as far as I've found. I did figure in my last show, because the show that I did previously with the ANBF, they told me that I was too hard for what they were looking in their bikini
mm-hmm.
division.
And mm-hmm.
they suggested I try figure at the next show that I did. So I had already registered for bikini, so I figured I'd do both. And I ended up placing well in both of them. So I was very happy about that. But I don't think figure is something that I would probably continue. I think bikini is definitely where my heart is.
Mm. Well, I tell everybody, if it's your passion, then you need to follow it. And I don't care what anybody recommends. If your heart's not
right.
in, yeah. So, you know, if that's your choice, then by all means, I say go with it. Because
yeah, and it's...
Go ahead.
You can definitely tell when, like, your physique could be totally on point, and if your heart's not in it, it just shows in every single
yeah.
movement that you make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's almost embarrassing when people basically are finding freedom, but then they're actually restricting themselves because somebody else had an idea of what you would look best in, and it just
right.
it just doesn't translate.
Right. I've encountered that. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, keep going. I'll circle back around.
I was going to say, I've encountered that a couple times with, you know, family members. They don't really understand why I do it because I haven't won a show yet. I've only done 3 shows so far. And they, like my dad once was like, why don't you do something where you're going to win? And I'm like,
oh.
I won. one, I'm gonna like winning is definitely the goal. I'm working towards that. It's something that I really enjoy, and I understand where he's coming from because he wants to see me succeed, and he wants me to do something that's more objective as opposed to subjective. You know, and I've considered powerlifting in my off season, and I may still. I'm taking a longer off season now because I think I mentioned to you guys in the emails that my hardest thing is building. It's very difficult for me because I have a very high metabolism. It's difficult for me to build and maintain muscle. I can build it, but I lose it pretty quickly if I don't actively continue trying and trying to build. And so I'm taking a few months off. I probably won't compete again until the spring or late spring. So I may do a powerlifting meet in the meantime. We'll see.
That's sure not. I mean, whatever is going to keep you motivated and keep you moving forward is, in my mind, always a good plan. And with this sport particularly, it takes time. I mean, unless you are a genetic phenom, it takes time to put on size and to build. And, you know, it is not uncommon. I mean, you do have your athletes that come in their first show and they win a pro card. Okay. But then you have far more athletes who compete for 2-3 years or more before they get their pro card. But they keep at it because they love it. And each year with consistency, they just get better and better. So, you know, it's going to happen. Tell your dad.
I'm not giving up yet. You're going to win.
You're going to win.
Hey, I took third in the last one.
No, you did well. You mean you placed top three in both of your categories. So, I mean, that's awesome. That is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, top five is an awesome place to be. So, you know, it's definitely an accomplishment. And even if you're not in the top five yet, you were up on that stage and, you know, you were working it. So it's all good. It's all good. So one of the joys, the things that Kaylin and I love best about the sport is that we are natural competitors and you're also a natural competitor.
Yeah.
How important is that to you?
That is super important to me. I've always been of the mind where I'm not going to put any unknown substance or any harmful substance in my body. I'm like that with the food that I eat. I tend to stay away from highly processed foods. I don't even go out to eat all that often just because most restaurants don't offer the best stuff. It's loaded with just all sorts of stuff you don't want to put in your body. I'm like that with my beauty products. I use all natural shampoos, conditioners, and I'm like that with my training. You know, I'm not going to put anything in my body that may harm me and or that I don't know what's in it. And you don't know what's in these things, which is crazy that, you know, people will just stand by and let someone, you know, tell them to, you know, use steroids or something, and they'll just do it. And I want to be able to take pride in the fact that everything that I've accomplished has come intrinsically. I have not had any assistance from any sort of ergonomic aid. I've been able to do everything holistically, naturally, and that is something that, like, I can take pride in. And if I were to use some sort of drug, I don't know, like, I would definitely not be able to take pride in my accomplishments if I did that.
Yeah. I definitely know the feeling of that. And I'm tickled because, like, I had, like, recently, well, you're going to hear it all your life, when, especially if you're working really hard. And like that says, when your body starts to change because of the time you put in and the muscle maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, my dreads are older than the testing standards, So even if you want to go that back that far, you can do that. So, you know, I really take a lot of pride in it, but it's more of a heartfelt understanding that this is something, like Des said, we choose. And, you know, if you say
right.
you're not, you know, you live it. It's something that you do. It's basically the core you. I can't, you know, like when you explain it to people, it's like you don't want to take away from what anyone is doing. But if it's something that basically makes the core you, basically inside and out, this is what you do. It's who you
yeah.
are, and it's part of your being. So I definitely understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah.
Now,
it's funny, though. I've actually
I've
had people come up to me when I'm training or after I'm training, and they'll be like, so what are you taking? And I'm like, I take a B-complex. I take iron. I use protein powder every now and then. And they're shocked. I had one person straight up tell me, I thought you were taking Anavar the whole time. I'm like, no, I just work hard.
Yes. But
yeah.
it's a different mindset and a different understanding because, you know, and this is the thing that, and I can't speak for Des on this, but I can definitely speak for me. And
mm-hmm.
they've been lied to for so long that they just understand, you know, it's like, okay, I'm a natural wink-wink, and, you know, everything that's, you know, shrug-shrug. And then they find out, oh, you know, you really are. And then it basically changes the whole conversation because now they can actually listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not, I'm not saying that people who do use don't work hard because they definitely do. But it says something when a natural athlete can step on stage with a not natural athlete and be at the same caliber. And I've experienced that at NPC shows. I know, you know, use isn't as frequent in the bikini category, but there are people who definitely have used steroids. And the fact that I can stand myself up there with all of them and feel like I belong is something that gives me great pride and pleasure. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's definitely been a joy having you, Nikki, and being on our inaugural roll call episode. Unfortunately,
thank you so much for having me.
I know, it's been a lot of fun. So, before we
yeah.
have to go, we've got about time for 60 seconds worth of shout outs for you to say. Thank you. Give your appreciation to anyone and everyone who's been part of your journey thus far.
Yes. Well, I don't know if anyone is listening right now, but I'm pretty sure my friend Eric is listening. So he asked me for the link. So I definitely want to say thank you. He's been one of my best friends for a very long time. He's been through a lot with me, and he continues to go through a lot with me. So I appreciate that. If my dad happens to be listening, thank you, Dad, and my mom. My friends, everyone who's just kind of been there and supported me. Cynthia, my brother. I don't have too many friends. I'm kidding. But everyone knows who they are. And I'm just super appreciative of everyone who's been there for me, whether it be at school or at my martial arts studio or in the gym or just at home. And yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. Keep working hard. We wish you luck in powerlifting or in your next competition. And keep
it posted. Thank you.
We want to know how you're
doing.
Of
course.
So,
I will. Thanks
alrighty.
So much.
Well, it has been a lot of fun having our guest tonight on Roll Call with both Torrance and Nikki. And I have to say, I mean, anybody who's been listening to us knows that we are live. And now that we've taken this to another level with multiple guests that we've really not had a chance to speak with before they get on air, always the opportunity for a lot of excitement. But we're looking forward to more of it. So, Kaylin, Snickerdoodle?
Always Snickerdoodle. And I won.
I don't know that you've won yet. The jury is still out. Just because you controlled the information a little bit doesn't mean that you won.
Oh,
and for anybody who's wondering, we've had I'm not losing. Chocolate is just a bread and butter flavor. It's a standard.
Leslie.
It will never die. It will never go away. It wasn't last place. So, but for anybody who, and I believe you need to check your Facebook page, because I left a pretty important endorsement for the chocolate for you to see it. If you haven't seen it yet, you're going to want to check that out. But for anybody who's not sure what we are carrying on about, is that after our interview with Misty Love Soul, which you're going to have to go to the archives and listen to that one because it was a good one, we had a challenge as to which the best flavor was, and it started out with, was it cinnamon bun or was it snickerdoodle? And then, of course, my vote is chocolate, so that's how that got thrown in there. But I'm pretty sure cinnamon bun was making a comeback, if it was not victorious, by the time the debate started to wind down. I have to say.
Exactly. Snickerdoodle won.
So.
It's your story.
That is not what I just said, but that's okay. If you want to, if that's what's going to help you have a good workout tonight, we can say that Snickerdoodle won.
Oh, just think about that. Snickerdoodle, once again, helping me exercise. Oh, yay.
Oh, shoot. Too darn funny. Anyway, guys. We are so out of time, but we're glad you're joining us tonight. Please keep joining us. Thank you. Thank you for being part of our 10,000 listeners. Let's make it 20,000 by this time next. I know.
Wow.
So amazing. So on behalf of myself, Kaylin,
and Snickerdoodle,
and P for P Muscle, your body is a temple. Let's build it.
Let's build first, lady.